Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's often said that power corrupts. And sadly, there's enough truth to that saying that it probably wouldn't be too difficult for all of us to think of at least a few examples of where we've seen that happen. It can happen in any area of life. It happens in businesses. It happens in churches. It happens in government with both elected officials and administrators. And if we'll be honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that it could happen to any of us if we happen to be in a position of authority. After all, even when someone begins with the very best of intentions, once you find yourself with some degree of power, it can be so easy to misuse it or abuse it, and especially to use it for self-serving purposes. Now, this isn't a uniquely American problem, and it's also not a uniquely modern problem. In fact, the people of Israel were very familiar with this problem already in the days of the Old Testament. Sometimes they saw it in business, as the prophets repeatedly spoke against the rich taking advantage of the poor and employers mistreating their workers. Sometimes they saw it in their religious leaders, which we'll come back to in a few moments. But perhaps the place they saw it most clearly was in government, and specifically in their kings. They saw kings like Saul become obsessed with power and twisted with an obsession with staying in power. They saw even good kings like David become so accustomed to having whatever they wanted that they started taking advantage of their position, as David did with Bathsheba. They saw king after king come to feel so secure in his own might that he stopped relying on God and wandered from his ways. And at times, they had the experience of living under the rule of kings and emperors from other nations who didn't share their beliefs and their values at all. At one time or another, they saw it all. And it was to such people, to people who had seen it all when it comes to kings, that God sent the prophet Zechariah with a message about a king to come. God sent Zechariah to give them hope and to give them a promise. Zechariah gave the people hope by speaking to them of God's promise that he would one day send them an ideal king. A king who would not let them down. A king who would use his power not for himself, but in service to them. A king who would be unlike any of the kings of this world, and whose reign would be unlike any other reign they had ever seen. Zechariah spoke to the people of the long-promised king, the Messiah. And so what did he say this king would be like? Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the prophet Zechariah said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And in those few words, the prophet said a great deal about this promised king. First, he said that this king would be righteous. And this meant both that he would personally be righteous, doing what is right in his own life, and also that as king, he would be righteous, using his position, his power, and his authority always to do what was right. Second, Zechariah said that this righteous king would come bringing salvation. He would be a king focused not on what people could do for him, but on what he could do for the people. He would come to deliver them, to rescue them from their enemies and establish peace for them. He was coming to do much more for them than any ordinary king could ever do. He was coming to be their savior. And what would this righteous king be like when he came to save his people? Zechariah said that he would come to his people in humility. He would come not on a war horse trying to impress or intimidate people, but he would come humbly riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey. So here the Lord was promising, through the prophet, that he would send his people a king who would do what was right, both personally and publicly, who would save them from their enemies and bring them peace, and who would do all of that with a spirit of gentle humility. This would be a very different kind of king than they had ever seen before. This would be exactly the kind of king they needed. And this is exactly the kind of king that God gave them and gave us when he fulfilled all of these promises by sending Jesus. As promised, Jesus was and is truly, perfectly righteous. In his life among us, he always did what was right. In fact, one of the difficulties that Jesus' opponents faced when they wanted to get rid of him was that they couldn't find witnesses to agree that he had actually ever done anything wrong. And Jesus also always did what was right in the use of his power and his authority. Not once did Jesus misuse his divine powers for personal gain. Not once did Jesus use his authority to help himself at the expense of others. Instead, he always did what was best for the people he had come to save. After all, just as Zechariah had prophesied, this righteous king had come with a purpose, and that purpose was to bring our salvation. He hadn't come to enjoy a life of ease and luxury, as kings often do. In fact, he had left behind the luxury and glory of heaven so that he could come down into this fallen world, come to us, and save us. And he did that knowing full well that it would mean suffering, hardship, and even death for him. That is the kind of king Jesus is. He is the kind of king who lives and reigns in righteousness, who uses his power not for personal gain, but to save us, and who does all of that while always maintaining the spirit of gentle humility. He is a king who said to let the little children come to him and gently took them into his arms as he welcomed them. He is a king who knelt down on the floor with a basin and towel to wash his disciples' dirty feet. He is a king who did not use his divine power to strike back when his opponents mocked him and beat him, but who instead showed his strength by his calm, perfect self-control, and by praying for their forgiveness, even as they crucified him. All those qualities of Jesus that were prophesied by Zechariah especially shine through in what he did on Palm Sunday. As on that day, he came humbly, riding on a donkey, just as had been prophesied, and he came in righteousness to bring us salvation. And here it's important to remember that Jesus rode into Jerusalem that Sunday, knowing full well what would happen to him that Friday. Jesus knew that the Jewish authorities had become so envious of Jesus' influence and his support among the people that they would misuse their power in order to get rid of him that week. And Jesus knew that the Roman governor so loved his position and power that he would not risk his standing with the people by standing up for what is right, but would instead go along with the demands for Jesus' death just to make sure his own position of power wasn't jeopardized. And so, even as Jesus heard the joyful hosannas and the children's praises that Sunday, he knew even then that when Friday came, he would be hearing very different sounds. He'd be hearing the sound of people shouting for his crucifixion. He'd hear the sound of nails being pounded into his hands and feet. He'd hear the sound of his opponents mocking him as he hung dying on the cross, dying even for them. Jesus knew perfectly well that all of that was coming, and yet he did not turn away from it. He came to Jerusalem, he came to his people. He came as their righteous king, as our righteous king, in order to bring our salvation. That Sunday, he who alone is truly righteous came so that that Friday, the righteous could die for the unrighteous. He could die for us, to bring us to God and to give us peace. And so on the cross that Friday, Jesus showed us perfectly what a real king is really like. As he suffered and died, wearing a crown of thorns for us, so that we can look forward to one day receiving a crown of life from him. Now that is what a real king is like. And thanks be to God, that is the king who we have. When people say that power corrupts, it's sometimes added that absolute power corrupts absolutely. But today we give thanks that Christ used his absolute power in absolutely pure, selfless service to us. And so when we get discouraged at what we too often see in the rulers and authorities of this world, and when we get discouraged at seeing in ourselves some of those same qualities, that we too can become self-serving, can easily lose our focus, and can easily stray from our principles. When we see all that and are troubled by all of that, we can take heart in knowing that our ultimate future lies not in the hands of any politician or any other human authority, and not even in our own hands, but in the nail-scarred hands of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is righteous and humble, and thanks be to God, he has brought our salvation. For that, all glory, laud, and honor be to him, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.